It's time for Quick Calls with Mike the Ref on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
Oh, my God. Oh, sorry. I guess I'm recording already. It's Mike the Ref here at the Northgate Lions Senior Center. And my God, I'm absolutely exhausted right now after the PWA Fall Fever show, where I think the best way we're going to call this tonight is a night out of nowhere for a lot of things here. But we're joined by, I believe it's the resident captain of the IHF Tyler fan club, Andre C.
I am the commissioner of the soon-to-be Facebook group, the hashtag I Hate Jeff Tyler Club. I am Andre C., and I am here.
Oh, boy. You know it's getting serious when Facebook groups are getting involved here. But then, of course, we got the wrestling mind Brian Hamilton with it.
Oh, my God. Hi, guys. What a great show.
Yeah, it started off great as far as I was concerned. But
no, it really didn't.
It was a good match.
We had six top-notch matches here tonight, including a match that I can honestly say, even possibly including the ending, could be a match of the year candidate here.
Yep.
In our main event, but let's go through them one by one, and we'll break it down here for you.
Break it down, y'all.
Anyway, coming out first, we had your favorite, Jeff Tyler.
I hate Jeff Tyler. If you don't know, I have a giant sign that says it.
We'll get some picks up for you folks. But he was taking on Brandon Van Danielson, one half of the PWA champions. That still sounds weird for me to say it, but
he's the one half of the PWA champion.
Now this was a hell of a matchup here. I mentioned in my last Blown Calls show that I thought he would really wouldn't Jeff Tyler would not disappoint here in this match.
No.
Sorry, I got people running around here constantly here. It's, people are filing out here. It was a position there where Brandon Van Danielson had the win. He hit the lariat on Tyler, but then he got greedy. He wanted to get more. And then all of a sudden gets rolled up in a small package out of nowhere, 1, 2, 3, and your winner is the high flyer, the sky flyer, Jeff Tyler. Now, I know Andre is about ready to throw things and get all consternated at this. He's composed himself since that was the first match of the card. What are your thoughts, sir?
First off, hashtag I hate Jeff Tyler, but I have to say, this match was great. I thought, as I always said, great high-paced match to start off a show. This was it. The crowd's like in one show after one show, and in his second show, this crowd is hugely behind Jeff Tyler. Like it's plainly obvious, right? But I thought these guys are great. But BVD made the mistake a lot of people in the past have made. He made the stupid mistake in after you hit your finisher, pin them. Simple as that. But he got greedy, wanted to hit him with another move. I don't know what it was.
I think he was setting up for a second lariat, and that's what ended up.
And he got greedy, and
out of nowhere,
Jeff Tyler gets the small package, gets the victory, and I can't say I don't like it, but I gotta respect it because BVD he screwed up.
Yeah. Brian, your thoughts?
Oh, what a great match to start the show off. BVD and Jeff Tyler, my God. And Jeff Tyler picking up the upset win over BVD. You know, this should put him in a line for a title shot down the line because he beat one half of the co-holders of the title tonight. So, I mean, that definitely should put him in a line for a title shot. And like I said, yeah, a very great match. BVD, he made a mistake. Jeff capitalized, rolled up him in a small package, and got the huge upset win tonight. Great for him.
Now, I've heard a lot of great things about Jeff Tyler coming out of Saskatchewan with HIW, and it's great to see him in Alberta, and just seeing these fans gravitate to him so quickly. And you're speaking about that title match. We're going to get to that at the end of the show here.
My God.
But let's get to our second match here, and it involved, I'm not sure. I believe it's two fan favorites here.
Yeah.
You had Dirty Duke Durango, who
I only know of one fan favorite in this match.
Well, Durango flips back and forth a lot.
He's Dirty Duke Durango. He will always be dirty. I will never trust that man.
Yeah, well, Andre, you also cheer for BVD, so that's beside the point here. Anyway, he was taking on Bryce the Slammer Silva in a classic match with two people that are very experienced in the ring.
One very, very much more experienced because he's old as F.
Yes, folks, I'm going to... Yeah, never mind. This match here, Slammer eventually ended up showing his dominance and just his training in bodybuilding and weightlifting has paid off, managed to gain the advantage, and then hit the GTS, as he calls it, the go-to slam. For those that are listening to the podcast that weren't here, think of Wade Barrett's Wasteland in a certain version, except...
Okay, I'll explain exactly what this move is.
Go ahead.
You set up like GTS, he lifts him up and off and up and forward like you would go and throw the knee, but then you pull him in like the world's strongest slam and go down with it. Okay. That's the same. Like a GTS into a world's strongest slam. Think about that.
Okay. This one ended up looking a little bit more like...
GTS into a Wasteland, yeah.
Yes, it's sort of like that. Still was effective and still got the 1-2-3 here. Brian, I'm going to let you go first. Your thoughts?
Oh, I thought it was a great match between these two. You had the veteran and Duke Durango, and well, I guess we're both veterans, and Slammer, he got the win over a very tough opponent tonight in Dirty Duke Durango, but great second match. Had the crowd going into it, both kind of fan favorites, I guess you would say, because the crowd was kind of getting behind both guys, but in the end, Slammer picked up a huge win tonight. Great for him.
It's nice to finally see Slammer in an actual match here in Edmonton.
Yeah, let's not remind ourselves of what happened last month.
Yeah, pose down. But I really enjoyed this. It kept the crowd's energy going. You had all the crowds just split back and forth for these guys. There was that whole who can get the better pop off the start. It's a fun match. And Slammer, that go to slam, I love that move. I still remember the first time I heard about the move, and I saw a picture of a broken ring because of it. So trust me, that move is deadly because he's broken a ring with it.
Absolutely. And I can't wait to see how this is going to line up with the Mayhem champion, Bobby Sharp, who I might as well throw it out right now. I want to give a shout out to both the Lion Warrior, Bobby Sharp, and Kat Von Hees, who actually got married today. Hence the reason they weren't on this card here,
Happy
folks.
Happy nuptials.
Exactly.
Happy nuptials. Unfortunately, they had to do it in Winnipeg, which I'll save my comments on that one for later. But let's move on to match number 3 here. Now, this has been a grudge match that's been going on, well, in our sense, over a year now. But in the PWA, this is the third month it's gone into here. You got Sheik Akbar Shabazz taking on Tiger Ali. Now, in this match, we actually saw a side of Tiger that we have never seen before. It was a rush. Tiger rushed into the ring and jump-started the match. Basically, out of nowhere, just completely attacked Sheik Akbar. And both these guys beat the holy hell out of each other throughout this match.
Yep.
But then, out of nowhere, once again, as our theme of the night.
Well, it's not out of nowhere. Cause you kind of it kind of was. Well, but there was a distraction before.
Out of nowhere, the music came on of The Omen, and some video came on the main screen showing a grave of Omen with the date of birth and the date of death being 2017.
1923 to 2017.
I'm glad you saw it better than I did. So then the lights come up, a little bit of distraction. Sheik goes for a clothesline. Tiger turns it into a crucifix, pulls him around, gets the 1-2-3 on the roll-up.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about the match before we see what happened after the match.
Okay, so I thought these guys had the best match I've seen these two have so far. Over the last year, seeing these two, like I said, we've been seeing them in other places fighting, but I think this is the best one I've seen between the two yet, and I think it just keeps getting better, and that's great. These guys are doing phenomenal.
Brian?
Oh, I thought this was a really good match between the two. It's back and forth, and in the end, Tiger got a huge win. He beat Sheik with a little bit of a distraction, and now Next month.
Next month. So after the match, the place goes fade to black once again. And all of a sudden, the picture of the grave comes back up.
Seth Rollins?
With the... Yeah, love you too. Except the death date is crossed out. And all of a sudden, it comes up Fright Night. Gabe, the omen's back. R.I.P. Sheik.
Best part about this was the crowd. We all started chanting, R.I.P. R.I.P.
Rest in peace.
And the crowd was just chanting it. It felt so natural and perfect. It wasn't like we were fed a chant. It just felt natural because the crowd wanted to pick up and do that. It just felt so good.
The big thing is the Sheik is the wrestler that brings that out of most fans here in the PWA more than anybody. So this was a fantastic match and fantastic inclusion, and I can't wait to hear what happens here coming up at Fright Night October 28th between these two.
Yep.
But let's move on to our fourth match, and it was for the PWA Tag Team Championships, a rematch from last month where you had the Millennial Rebels of Colton Kelly and Reed Matthews, the Thickness, taking on Richie Rage and Andrew Hawks. Now, this match started a little more evenly than last month, where there was no jump starting or anything. It ends up being like a 35-on-1. And I'm going to say 35-on-1. It was probably closer to 60-on-1.
5-on-2.
Fair enough.
There's only five Rebels.
The key moment in the match was the Rebels actually stayed as a team on the apron while the distractions came on the outside. Andrew Hawks ends up clocking Raymond Vanstone.
I really hope he's okay. That man needs to... Obviously, we heard later on he was. But the man's all about his voice. So if that he hurts his jaw, he can't speak.
Which is
God, I wish he would hit him in the jaw.
Me too.
But because he was doing this, he wasn't in the corner available for a tag from Richie Rage. All of a sudden, there's the tag from Colton onto Reed. Hits the sit-out powerbomb, followed by the senton by Kelly and the frog splash by Matthews for the 1-2-3. After the match, there was a little bit of bitterness between Rage and Hawks. And I don't know what's going to happen with these two. It seems like they're getting on a bitter edge.
Like, they were this close. Like I'm talking like an inch away from coming to blows.
Like the length of one of my hairs?
What hair?
Exactly. But your thoughts on the match, Andre?
Dude, these two teams just killed it. Like, I'm a huge Rebels fan, but like Hawks and Rage, I've been watching Hawks for years. These guys, like Hawks, I have to single out Hawks. He is truly one of the best guys in this company. No matter who he's in the ring with, he always makes a phenomenal match. Doesn't matter who. And Rage, so good, so powerful. Rebels, they just keep improving. You got two guys that grew up in this business. You got Reed Matthews, who just keeps getting better and better. You got Raymond Vanstone, the voice. And then you have the time-traveling millennial in Dr. Kyoto.
My God, let's not even get started on that. I could smell the BS flowing here, but Brian, your thoughts?
Well, overall, it wasn't a bad match, but like you said, though, the Hawks and Rage, they were mostly on the page until the end when, well, Rage went after Vanstone and left his partner to... Hawks went after Vanstone and left Rage all alone, and it cost them a chance at the titles. And, well, yeah, like Andre said, the Rebels, every time we see them, they're getting better and better. Their stable is getting a lot bigger and that, and... Yeah, so it's very good for them. They keep the titles, but wow.
Millennials now, unite.
I guess. But now we got into intermission. Coming out of intermission, we had the Commonwealth title being defended by Kenneth Anthony.
The Fury Anthony.
Well, he didn't get announced as the Fury in this match.
But
so
he's
that,
still
taking on Kenny Stryker.
Kenny versus Kenny.
Yeah, so everybody was cheering for Kenny, and yeah, I guess everybody won.
Yep.
Once again, the numbers factor kicked in. Colton Kelly, you had Reed Matthews at ringside, Dr. Kyoto, I'm sure there was like 12 other people underneath the ring. In the end, there was a, from the outside of the ring to the inside, suplex got reversed. And with Colton Kelly holding the ankle, there was a 1-2-3, and Kenneth Anthony retains his championship.
No, it's Kyoto holding the ankle, actually.
Oh, it was Kyoto.
Kyoto. Because as he went for the suplex, Kenneth turned, Kyoto grabbed the foot, and that was it. But all right.
Either way, a rebel got it. Great. A rebel grabbed it. So, go ahead.
I thought, great match. Kenny Stryker looking phenomenal as always. Kenneth Anthony, one of the best up-and-comers in the business. These two had a great match, and it's just with that finish, you can see it is a numbers game. The Rebels know how to make the numbers work. There's all, especially I'm happy with the expansion with Dr. Kyoto coming in, because he adds another element to them, because he is a lot wiser than them, and he knows all the tricks that has to be played to help manage somebody to championships and keeping them hold the championship.
Yeah, I guess we're gonna have to call him a time traveling millennial though, right?
Right.
The 80s leather jacket, the 90s hitman glasses. 2010 scarf, and that hat from the 60s, I do believe. But
yeah, that pork pie hat.
I'll digress at that point. Brian, your thoughts on the match?
Oh, overall, it was a great match between these two. It's back and forth. Fury, though, at the beginning, it looked like he didn't want any part of Stryker because he was taking a lot of time on the outside before he would lock up. But in the end, though, when it's basically 5-on-1, Kenny had no chance. The odds played in favor of Kenneth tonight. He got the win. But then Kenny Stryker, he actually took a major beatdown at the end when all five of them attacked him at the end and pretty much laid him out.
Now, just want to bring up one point here, and I want to give a special emphasis to a particular wrestler in this match. This has got to be one of the better performances I've seen out of Kenneth Anthony. Now, he's been a great wrestler. He's been a great mind in this business when it comes to strategy in the ring. But his performance tonight, I particularly enjoyed more than I've seen in a while. Like, he's been very consistent, very good, but this just went to another level here as far as I was concerned.
For sure.
As much as I razz on these guys, I have a lot of respect for the Rebels and what they've done and what they've altered in the PWA here.
Yeah.
And basically taking it to the next level in 2017.
Yeah, sure. They've really evolved as a team. Like, you can see they weren't the most cohesive team, say, like a year ago when they kind of came together, or a year and a half, whatever, 2 years ago, whatever it was. But they flow so well together. Like, they all know where they need to be, and they know where to help out and everything. And then I think the Kyoto addition is just the knowledge that man has from all his years in this business is just going to improve that team like you wouldn't believe.
Absolutely. And for the record, Colton Kelly is not a spot monkey. He did a great job in this match tonight.
He's a spot tonight. Gorilla.
Oh, my. Andre, let's make this clear. Andre said that. Colton, please do not kill us. But speaking of things that were amazing tonight, my God, that main event.
Holy crap.
Sean Moore, Michael Richard Blaze. I mentioned, like I said on my Blown Call show, that this could be a shocker of a match. This could be match of the year. And there is a high possibility that this will be. So, yeah, when it comes to this match, we're going to have to break it down into three stages here, because there are three clear stages in this match.
It's three stages of hell.
No, three stages of heaven as far as we're concerned as fans. Now, the first one is going to be before the bell here.
Yep.
Match doesn't start. The conflict starts with a super kick from Michael Richard Blaze onto Sean Moore, sending him loopy and to the outside.
Yep.
Beating him senseless outside, sending him into the wall, and then pile driving him through the timekeeper's table at ringside.
Yep.
I honestly didn't think that Moore was going to be able to get up out of that.
He did, though.
He's got the guts, and he gutted it out. The dragon,
Because then you got Emmerby grab the mic, and he starts talking how nobody can hang with him, nobody's good enough for a match, the crowd doesn't deserve a match, and then you see Sean Moore get up, and he will not quit. As much as you know my love for MRB.
I believe the B word was used by MRB that caused the final.
Yeah, but I don't want to speak to that kind of stuff. Speak to that. But he, and you see Moore, he was a prime.
Moore.
I'm so sorry.
Moore
had just the guts and just pulled everything from down deep to get back in that ring. And by God, what came next?
He lined up MRB just as MRB is asking for the bell to be rung. He hits him with a super kick right on the chin. I am not sure if all the chicklets are left.
After the bell.
No, because the bell rang after they were separated.
Oh, after the kick,
The bell rang, and all of a sudden, there was a cover right away, and you looked a little worried there at that point.
I honestly was. Like, that kick was brutal.
So let's get to the match here, and we'll get your thoughts, Brian, here once we get into the match here. My God, this match, the moves these guys were pulling off, the story they were telling throughout the match, regardless of the interference by Connie Lynn Blaze.
Jeff Tyler.
You have to bring that up.
Brandon
Van Danielson and
the Rebels.
The Rebels eventually. But before all that kerfluffle happened with everybody coming from the back, my God, the stuff these guys were pulling out. Super kicks. Kicks all over. The brainbuster from MRB looked especially vicious.
The reverse Rana on the ground, then the reverse Rana off the top.
Sean Moore pulls both of those off on MRB, and we thought Blaze was dead.
Oh, man, I honestly thought he was losing the title.
Blaze hit his 450, only got a one count out of that.
Yeah, like Moore just popped right out, like just hulked right out of that spot.
And I honestly thought there was going to be a title change. I said that earlier this week, and I honestly thought it was going to come true during this match. And I think you were sweating bullets a little bit there too.
But BVD interfered, wasn't enough. Connie Lynn interfered, wasn't enough. The Rebels, as in Colton Kelly and Reed Matthews, interfered, wasn't enough.
What had happened?
Jeff Tyler interfered, it wasn't enough for Sean Moore.
Moore ends up hitting his finisher on MRB, gets him laid out. Tyler's bringing the referee into the ring. Kenneth Anthony comes from out of the back, hits Sean Moore in the back of the head, and the referee sees it, causing the disqualification.
Yeah.
And leading a complete cluster you-know-what.
Yeah.
With 10 different guys in the ring, or sorry, 9 different guys in the ring, plus the referee.
Yeah.
And before we get
there was only 7 at that point, and then out came Rage and Hawks.
Which made it 9,
which it just, oh my God.
Talk to your women. Yeah, it was just, whoa, some crazy.
And they just all just started brawling, and it is nuts.
Well, before we get to the end of that, guys, I want your thoughts on the main event match. Brian, your thoughts on the main event match?
The match was just totally chaotic, insane, crazy. High-flying moves, kicks, move for move. My God, these two went out of it. In the end, Moore was about half an inch away from taking that title, and when all hell broke loose, it's like I told Andre, MRB and BVD, the only way they know how to win is by cheating to keep the title.
Contrapoint, Mr. Andre.
It ain't winning if you ain't cheating.
Okay, back it up. What's your
thoughts? The match was phenomenal. Yes, like, these guys went move for move. Like, I've been a fan of Sean Moore for a long time. Don't get me wrong, this guy is probably one of the best PWA has ever had in the ring outside of MRB. But, like these two just put on, I arguably can say one of my match of the year contenders for PW, for my indie wrestling matches of the year, or for our local stuff at the end of our podcast. But, like, phenomenal. Just phenomenal. These two, every move they hit, like we talked about, the reverse Ranas, the 450s, the that Sean Moore splash, the super kicks, Sean Moore hitting that corner.
The trapped head
super kick on MRB, just everything. This is going to be on one of the best of the year DVDs that PWA puts out. It have to be.
Oh, absolutely. And like I think this match would go up against any match you would have seen anywhere this weekend.
Definitely.
And I'm talking about matches that haven't even happened yet.
Like a WWE house show.
I'm talking about like ICW in England going on tomorrow.
Or whatever WWE house show is happening in the world.
But let's get to the aftermath. Commissioner Andy Anderson, hashtag Fire Andy, comes out.
Hashtag greatest commissioner of all time.
Comes out, and he makes a match for Fright Night coming up October 28th. You have five men on one side. You got Brandon Van Danielson, Michael Richard Blaze, Kenneth Anthony, Reed Matthews, and Colton Kelly. Everybody with gold. And on the other side, you have four men. Jeff Tyler.
Boo.
Sean Moore.
Yay.
And Raging Hawks.
I'm okay with them. And that should have been it. The match was made. That should have been it. Everybody should have went home.
Yeah, okay. Let's just say Mr. Kurt Sorokin comes out, the COO of PWA, who, let's face it, he's the man that runs the show regardless.
The board of directors took away his matchmaking powers and gave them to Andy Anderson.
And as soon as Andy Anderson said it, Mr. Sorokin mentioned, on behalf of the board of directors, Commissioner Andy Anderson is suspended 30 days.
30.
Pending a review following those 30 days on his behavior, so he
but
will...
But he didn't see the review at first.
The review, yes, but, you know, good things come to those who wait, and this was a great thing. The review will not be done until November, so therefore, Andy Anderson will not be available at Fright Night, so...
Hashtag justice for Andy.
No, that's not going to happen. So Mr. Sorokin throws in a little stipulation. If one of the members of the non-title team gets the pinfall, the belt switch hands.
All of them.
Like everything, all the gold switching around here, folks. We could have four new champions of three titles in one match.
Jeff Tyler does not deserve gold.
Okay, we'll just...
He's only had four matches in total in this company. He does not deserve a title yet.
Thank you for your polite opinion, Andre. Brian, what are your thoughts on everything that wrapped up there?
Oh, my God. What a chaotic way to finish when you had nine guys going at it, and then you had Kurt and Andy going back and forth. And wow, I cannot wait till for Fright Night. I mean, who knows what's going to happen. A nine-man elimination match for all the belts on the line. It's going to be insane. Who knows what the heck is going to happen. But I'm hoping we get new champions because like Andre was saying, Jeff, he doesn't deserve a title, but in my mind, he does. Tonight he beat BVD for a title.
He beat one of the champions.
Exactly. So it puts him in line, period.
All right. Well, we'll leave that there because we could be fighting about this.
When these titles contend, Jeff Tyler should get the PWA championship. Is that what you're saying?
We'll see who gets the cover, and we'll divvy it up from there if that happens.
It ain't going to happen.
Anyway, the next PWA show is the Fright Night show on October 28th. If you've listened to the network, I have had an erroneous date of October 21st. So,
guess who's in charge of that podcast? Me.
Actually, T. James Logan said he might be stopping by to help out. So, anyway, we'll get to
He'll
that. Just
be with you.
We'll get to that at the end here. Just we got a very important part to get to here. It's our highlights of the night and surprise of the night. All right, Brian, time for you to go first here. What was your highlight of the night?
Highlight of the night was opening match between BVD and Jeff Tyler.
I'm holding Andre back here.
This was a great match between the two, and like I said, on BVD, one little mistake in the end, it cost him the match. Huge victory for Jeff Tyler, which, in my opinion, this should put Jeff right in line for a title shot. He beat one half of the PWA champions, so perfect.
All right, Andre, time for your highlight of the night.
Yeah, I'm going off book. The tag team title match.
All right.
I've been a huge fan of the Rebels for a long time, and
I thought just great overall match, and all these guys in the ring are doing phenomenal things, and I kind of like the way it finished, and I'm just wondering what we're looking at between Hawks and Rage. Is this good? Is their rift going to continue, or is it? I'll do it. Is it going to continue, or is it? What's going to happen? That's what I'm looking. That's why this is my highlight of the night.
Fair enough. I'm going to take Ryan and Amanda's spot as well. All right, so I'm taking two here. So my first one's going to be the Commonwealth title match between Kenny Stryker and Kenneth Anthony. Like I said, Kenneth, to me, his game was on another level tonight, and it showed. Regardless of the finish, this was a great match that he pulled out here. And then, of course, we got to go with the main event.
Yes.
Outside of that finish, it was an absolute gangbusters of a gangbusters of a match that very well could be the match of the year in Alberta this year.
Very.
But then let's go to our surprise of the night, and I'm just going to call the matches like the match is set up for Fright Night.
Sure.
You got Gabriel taking on Sheik Akbar Shabazz, and you got the elimination match for all the titles. That's going to be a humdinger of a chance there. So, but that's going to wrap up the podcast here. Andre's out souvenir hunting right now. I think he's got a piece of plywood he wants to hit Jeff Tyler with. So I got to go chase him down. I want to thank the Wrestling Mind Brian Hamilton for joining me here.
Oh, always a pleasure, and I cannot wait to do this again.
Coming up on the network, I am going to have a Blown Call show this week, and after watching the football games in the CFL over the last couple weeks, there definitely is a Blown Call, and I'll get more into that when I get onto my show sometime this week. Also, I was in talks with the legend T. James Logan, and he's going to be sending me some interviews that he had in regards to this show, including Andre's favorite wrestler, Jeff Tyler.
I thought you meant Michael Richard Blaze. That cheater? It's not cheating if the ref don't catch you.
Either way, our next Quick Call show is actually not going to be coming until October with the Monster Pro Wrestling Show from the Alberta Avenue Hall. We could have a bunch of other stuff coming up here. Don't forget the Sounds of Struggle podcast as well. And I don't know. There's a whole bunch of stuff planning to come down the pipe here, so we'll see what happens. So make sure you check out that as well as next weekend's CWC Evolution show featuring the ladder match between Chris Parrish and Jack Pride for the CWC Championship. That's going to be a humdinger for you to see. But on behalf of everybody I guess I forgot the most important part. Our big announcements. Thanks to the little bit of a change here in scheduling for some of the events, we're going to have two special dates for announcements. The first one is going to be November 4th at the MPW Retribution Quick Calls, where Andre C. and I are going to discuss our new podcast we're doing in 2018, as well as a very special announcement on behalf of us in Monster Pro Wrestling. And then the other big announcement we're going to have is on the 17th of November from the Canuck Pro Show in Calgary. That's going to affect everything in the network here, folks. And there's a reason why I'm doing it down there. So you're going to have to check it out to find out. So on behalf of everybody here at Edmonton SPN, I want to thank you for joining us on Quick Calls. And don't forget, if you're going to make a good call, make a quick call. And this has been Quick Calls from PWA Fall Fever from the Northgate Lions Senior Center here on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
This has been Quick Calls with Mike the Ref on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. Contact us on Facebook or check out EdmontonSPN.podbean.com.